Our call to worship this morning was from the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verses 1 through 5. You're allowed to peek back at the bulletin if you already forgot what it was. That's okay. About 540 before the Christian era, the Israelites are living as immigrants, deported not by choice, but exiles in Babylon. They're suffering on behalf of the whole world, the commentators tell us, on which God has compassion, which God will restore to glory. And the words tell us to eat and drink what truly satisfies: God's word, God's covenant, which is a banquet of abundance. Now in Matthew, the times I've been with you, we've been having a lot of parables. So we had the sowing of the seeds on rocky and weedy ground and good soil. The planting last week of the mustard seed, yeast, because Jesus knows farmers as well as fisher folk. And he knows that God's will is that hungry people be fed. This feeding of the 5,000, as Johanna said, we've heard this story before. We don't always think about it as a picnic, but as you heard, it really was. They sat down on the grass. Maybe they had a blanket. Maybe they didn't. Jesus's power is life-giving and beneficial because God's will is that hungry people be fed. Now, when Jesus heard this, and the "this" refers to his cousin John, who has been killed by King Herod, it's possible that Jesus and his own disciples are in danger. So he withdraws from all the crowds in a boat, in a deserted place by himself. But he's too popular. And there's no getting away from the paparazzi and the regular people. And when the crowds hear it, they follow him on foot from all the towns around. And one of the commentators mentions that Jesus is withdrawing because there is danger. But this becomes a ministry opportunity. Often when there is danger, we are given ministry opportunities as well. When Jesus went ashore, he sees a large crowd and he has compassion. Whatever you hear about empathy is not a good thing, compassion could bring you problems. That's not what God is about. God is about compassion and empathy. And so what does Jesus do? He heals their sick. He knows the primary reason they came. He's sympathetic. He's conscious of others' pain, and he's ready and wanting them to thrive. When it was late, disciples come and they say, "There's nothing around, no McDonald's, no nothing. Send them away, let them take care of their own needs." And what does Jesus say? "Nope, you take care of that. This is your opportunity to feed people." Now, the people listening to these stories in the beginning with Jesus knew stories about wilderness and manna and quail. And Jesus empowers the disciples for this task. Well, all we have is, and one of the other gospels says, a little boy over there. He brought some fish, he brought some loaves, but not enough for 5,000 men, plus women and children. Again, this story is not unfamiliar to the Jewish people where Jesus is in the midst, because Elijah, who you may have heard of at some point, one of the prophets from the Hebrew scriptures, had a disciple named Elisha. Elisha lived during the time of drought and famine in the land. And when Elisha was given, because he was a priest and a prophet, was given 20 loaves as a tithe. Somebody brought their first fruits to him, in the book of 2 Kings, and he tells his disciples to take those 20 loaves and feed the hundreds of people in the area where he's staying so that they may have some food. So this story has been told before, and just like Elisha's story, there will be leftovers. Jesus then takes these loaves and fish on this hillside, takes them, just like we do with the communion elements. He looks up to heaven and he blesses them. He breaks the bread because that's the only way to share the bread. He must have done something with the fish. And he gives it to the people, and there is a banquet, the same banquet that we have a foretaste of in communion today, the same banquet that appears in the book of Revelation at the end of time, where God supplies the food. Jesus models for the disciples and for us what we are to do, shows us how small amounts of food and resources can expand compared to food pantries. A few dollars for a food pantry can buy way more than you or I could buy at the grocery. And they all ate and were filled, and the disciples took what was left over. And of course, since there are 12 disciples, there are 12 baskets. Everybody gets a basket of leftovers. One way currently that we could feed a multitude with a few loaves and fishes is through the Haitian Support Center right now in Springfield, Ohio. This past week, the temporary protected status of these persons who had fled the poverty and earthquakes and hopelessness on the islands of Haiti went into effect. People who were here legally working and paying taxes and feeding their families are all of a sudden illegal. Their driver's license have expired no matter what date is on them. They are not legal to drive to work. It's unsafe for some of them to leave their homes, and they are no longer able to feed their own children through their own work. So, with help from community, the Haitian Support Center, which has been active for at least a couple years, probably before the presidential campaign last time, they're taking $40 gifts. And for $40, they will supply a family of four 2 weeks full of food. Now, I went back and looked at what I paid for our family of two. And for 2 weeks, we spend a lot more than $40 a week. So as soon as I saw their little statistics, I thought, oh, that's something I can do. Because that's a bit of a miracle, to take $40 for four people and feed them for 2 weeks. In the same way, earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, and forest fires are causing people to have to evacuate their homes. Was I surprised to see on my social media feed this week that the World Central Kitchen, which has been really active in Gaza and other places where people are hungry, Jose Andre goes in, he sets up kitchens as long as they can get some fuel, he cooks things and feeds all kinds of people. They're active now in France. Now, we tend to think of France as a nation like us. Why would they need the World Central Kitchen? Because the forest fires have caused people to evacuate, and now they're having to go someplace that is not their own, and things are not good. On your own Grace Church webpage, every month, there's a special outreach. How clever is that? There's something extra you can give to a ministry that's here and that may have local effect, it may have national effect, but a way for you, with your money, whatever's left over, because sometimes some of us still have a little left over, that we can give in all kinds of different places. And I would imagine that if you gave for whatever the March need was in August, that would still be okay. Because one of the things that happened, as I was on the website, I thought, well, let's go back and see what Pastor Keith has written about in some recent columns. And there in the February 26 column, apparently at a church potluck, he suggested you generate, or somebody suggested, a list of things you were proud of. And this is a good list, because on it is generosity for missions local and world, and being a giving community, emphasizing compassion and community focused. I would encourage you to keep at it, because these are not one-time things. Jesus gave us communion not as a once and done kind of a thing. In fact, sometimes in my liturgical worship studies, we're reminded that communion is the reminder monthly, and for some churches weekly, of our baptism. Because baptism is basically a once completed thing, but we continue to live into it. But communion is sort of our food for the journey, the reminder that we need to be sustained and we need to be partaking together in order, as my dad would have said, to keep on keeping on. Because being a Christian is not a one and done thing for us. It's a journey with our still speaking God, a journey where God is always guiding, where kind-hearted friends join together to feed multitudes, to spread God's blessings of mercy and justice. I don't know if you've ever sung a hymn by the Presbyterian pastor Carolyn Gillette. Carolyn is in New Jersey. Somebody told me they were there recently. I don't even know where her church is. I just know where the one cheap gas station is as you go through New Jersey on your way to Connecticut. But Carolyn is recently retired, and she's written a lot of hymns for specific events. So here's one of her hymns. Where is bread, the great carol? Let me fix my mouth. Where is bread? The great crowd murmured, thousands strong, yet all in need. Where is bread? Your people wondered as grocery prices went up and up, faced with a crowd to feed. Who, Lord Jesus, could have guessed it? One small boy brought food to share. Taking what he gave, Christ blessed it. All were fed with much to spare. Where is bread? We know their yearning. Every day we wish for more, to our detriment sometimes. God in time we're slowly learning, all we own can make us poor. Our possessions can possess us, leaving hunger deep inside. Christ our bread, come now and bless us, for at your feast we're satisfied. Where is bread? The call is rising. Every day, there are more hungry people in this world. Millions cry who must be fed. God, your answer seems surprising. You, my church, you give them bread. Bread to fill each hungry spirit. Bread for hungry stomachs, too. Give us bread, O God, and help us share it. Richly blessed, may we serve you. May it be so for us, for this congregation, as we commune together today, that we may share bread and compassion with all the world. Amen. Our hymn is number 321 and on the screen. And this is one of those plays with this bread of life, which is a name that's given to Jesus, but it's also given to Scripture, because Jesus is the Word, as the beginning of the Gospel of John tells us, in the beginning was the Word. Let us sing together. You may rise in body or spirit as you are willing and able. Break now the bread of life.